Hey, everybody. So, personally, I'll admit, I'm not the world's biggest Quentin Tarantino fan. I just, you know... I liked Kill Bill Volume 2, all right?
Pam A taught you the five-point palm exploding heart technique.
Of course he did.
We did see his 2019 film Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which, if you haven't seen, is described on its official website as a tribute to the final moments of Hollywood's golden age. But spoiler alert, it's set in 1969 over the backdrop of the time when the Manson family murdered actress Sharon Tate and her friends. Although in true Hollywood fairy tale fashion, what happens in the movie doesn't play out the way that these events did in actual physical reality. The ending gets changed to one where they're not able to carry out the murders.
You can do anything you want to them.
And my first thought upon finishing this movie was, what happens if someday, somehow, in a world without access to unaltered information and archives, for whatever reason, this version of events were to get taken as what really happened? Like 100 years from now or something, if people saw this movie and they believed that's actually historically accurate, and there wasn't another source of information to counter it, what kind of butterfly effect are we talking about with such a thing like that? I mean, anybody who's read a Shakespeare play understands how drama and theater can be used to alter public perception of real-life people and events, how we understand our society. But some of the technologies that are coming out right now, you toss that in there, and it's beyond a post-truth world. I don't even know what to call it. Which brings me to the point of this video. We've spoken at length in our videos over the years on this channel about our concerns with tech being used to edit reality in real time and how that could go horribly dystopically wrong. And it feels like we have to be that balancing voice because the people who are making these things a lot of times keep acting like having radical optimism about everything isn't just some cute costume for being mind-blowingly naive.
This is fine.
And we don't watch the Super Bowl, but I saw this had happened and I recognized right away the insidiousness of it. So I'd like to go ahead and put this out on the record as well for whatever this is that we've been keeping on this channel for over a decade now. I think this needs to go there. So singer Alicia Keys joined Usher for the halftime performance this year. And on the NFL's official version of the video on YouTube, they edited out a so-called mistake she made when she kind of missed one of the notes, one of the opening notes of her song. And if you go to the NFL's official channel at around 4 minutes in, it will show you this. I'm about to show you a clip of this, just a quick one, and I hope this video doesn't get removed. I'm going to try to get away with just playing a few relevant seconds just so you can see exactly what I mean.
Some people want it all.
So that is what they have now on the official NFL YouTube channel. But here is what millions of people watching the Super Bowl halftime show live actually saw and heard.
Some people want it all.
Now, I want to point out there's no mention anywhere on the description of this video on the NFL's official channel that any technology has been used to change anything that you're seeing from what it was when it happened. They're just passing this off as if this was her performance and it did go down like that. And it's creepy too that there's almost no comment. There's no comments about that at all in the comments section, which I find really hard to believe. And actually, there's really almost no comments about Alicia's performance at all. There's only like I scrolled through thousands of comments. I got like 3 or 4. So I don't know what's going on there. It's as if the comments themselves have been moderated and anything related to her mistake or even her really seems like a lot of it's been culled out from this comment section. I mean, at least I guess they left the comments on. A lot of times these big corporations these days, they don't do that. But it's weird how much she is not mentioned. She comes in 4 minutes into this 13-plus minute performance and is barely mentioned at all in these 37,000 comments. That's a little strange mathematically, don't you think? So now what you have is historical records, because that's really what it is, of performances, official videos of performances being put up as if her mistake never happened. They're editing reality in near real time. And some of you hearing this might say, well, who cares? Like, it's just a Super Bowl performance. But of course, my regular viewers on my channel already know what I'm about to say. If they can edit something like this and pass it off as reality to you without telling you what happens when they edit something that is more consequential than just a Super Bowl performance. And if they have done this and they just did it, they didn't tell people they were doing it. They didn't make an announcement. They're not telling people on the page. They're not letting people know. They just did it. And if they could do that, how many times have things like this been done that you don't know about, that we don't know about? How many things have been edited in this way and we don't know? It's like gaslighting. It's so gaslighty. And this happened at the same time, by the way, that OpenAI released Sora within a very small window of time. Lots of stuff has happened. So OpenAI released Sora, which is a text-to-video generator that looks incredibly realistic. And as soon as I saw what this video generator was putting out, this AI, my immediate question upon seeing samples of what it could do was to ask, how long do you think this technology's actually existed? Because I wouldn't even be remotely surprised if it was a lot longer than we've been told. There is no reason to trust that it isn't. And after Alicia Keys' performance was AI perfected, people started talking about the Mandela effect again. And that's valid, because right here is how a Mandela effect gets created. You're seeing the creation of a Mandela effect in real time. That's what this is.
What is this?
This right here is how that's done.
This is something that I guess we are all just mass hallucinating.
10 years from now, people who saw this performance live or on TV or whatever, who were there in the stadium, are going to remember what happened. They're going to remember that in the real world, Alicia Keys missed a note. But the official record does not depict that reality anymore, unless you filmed it on your own phone or something and you kept that footage. And there were people saying that they were taking down people's clips of this all over YouTube. So people were trying to upload the, and there's still a few up there, but I suspect there were probably way more when it first happened. Because people were complaining about it having been taken down, the original version of her performance, with the mistake in it. And the official record now does not depict the actual reality that occurred. It's like being gaslit almost instantly. It's just, again, imagine someone bringing this up, okay? Years from now, you bring this one up, and nobody remembers it the way that it actually was, but you do. You're the only one who remembers it, right? That she messed up, and it's just a little mistake. She's a human being. She should be allowed to be a human being, you know? But no one else remembers it that way. You're the only one who does. And you try to tell people this is what happened and no one believes you. And the official record does not agree with what you're saying because it shows her hitting the note perfectly. I mean, wouldn't you feel like you were going insane? Isn't that the definition of gaslighting, basically? Which leads to the ultimate question, though, of how long has this kind of reality editing been going on? Which, I mean, people will probably say forever, and they wouldn't be wrong in making that guess. History is written by the victors, don't they always say? But this is some other whole thing right here.
I recently walked through Michael Castillo, but that's not me who he posted on his story. Michael's a big designer with 1.7 million followers. I understand as a model I am replaceable, but I don't get paid to do these shows. While I don't get paid, there's tacit understanding that I'm doing this for exposure and for photographs. By not using my face, he's taking advantage of models without the same influence as he does. Editing my face and removing my race is completely disrespectful.
They didn't have this technology like they can do with this in this way. At least not that we know about. We really can't even act like we actually know what the gap is between what technology is being developed and used and when that technology is made widely known to the public at large. We don't even know that. We don't know what that gap is. Lots of people have lots of guesses, but nobody really knows. There's definitely a track record of keeping technological advances from the public on purpose for reasons like war, for example. They had all kinds of technologies during World War II and the Vietnam War. They were not telling people about that, which War, I mean, we in America have been at war for almost the entire existence of this country. According to War History Online, I went and looked it up just to double check. And according to War History Online, since the birth of the USA on July 4th, 1776, this country hasn't even had 2 decades of peace. Not even 2, okay? And that's total in number of years, not continuously. So that's not even continuous 20 years of peace. There's never been, ever.
But the truth is that involvement in this conflict is far-ranging indeed. It touches not only members of the armed forces and their families, but everyone who supports the mission of the armed forces. Every defense worker, every taxpayer who foots the bill. Who, in fact, is not involved?
It's abysmal. That's an abysmal record. That's really sad. So we're already living through a time where trust, which is a concept that's a basic requirement on the recipe list of any functioning society, okay, is crumbling at what seems like a compounding rate at all levels. I mean, by the time you have WEF mentioning trust at all, it's obviously they know it's an issue. This year, Soros's kid, who just got him taken over the Open Society Foundation last year, actually said this. He sat on stage and said this.
Democracy is messy. I mean, you know, democracy is about contestation of ideas. It's about plurality. It's about people having different truths, actually. Now, fundamentally, how society lives together civically in those contestations is obviously quite tricky. But I think that if we play too much on this disinformation card, we're taking responsibility away from ourselves to actually create a narrative that inspires people to vote and to believe in democracy and democratic institutions.
So he's saying that it's their responsibility, I guess, him and the other people who go to WEF, the WEF elite, as they refer to themselves. They refer to themselves as the elite. That's
the good news is the elite across the world trust each other more and more. The bad news is that in every single country they were polling, the majority of people trusted that elite less. So we can lead, but if people aren't following, we're not going to get to where we want to go.
I don't know. There's something really silly about that, actually. But claim it's their responsibility to come up with narratives that people will believe in.
We're taking responsibility away from ourselves to actually create a narrative that inspires people to vote and to believe,
That's a far cry from this is the truth of the way things are. This is reality. We, the WEF elite, are going to come up with the narratives that inspire you to believe in them. He said that. It's amazing how much the quiet part is getting said out loud these days, actually. If you're paying even a little bit of attention, it's kind of insane. But the problem is they know a growing number of people don't trust them and are not inspired to believe any of the bullshit coming out of their mouths. Trust at all levels, it feels like, has been systematically destroyed. Am I the only one who feels that way? I don't think so. In ways that I have not witnessed in my lifetime nor read about in history books in this way. The name of this channel was actually a joke at the mainstream media.
And because we're presenting this information without any legitimate historical context whatsoever, you'll leave here thinking you have a grasp on reality, when in fact you have no idea why any of this is happening.
And that's why we rely on pseudo-events, predictable, planned, easily scripted, and important to underscore and give credence to authority.
Because,
Melissa,
we wanted the truth.
Now we're going to go live to report with Aaron at the airport, live at the airport. Aaron?
Thanks, Melissa. Aaron here, and as you can see, I'm waiting at the airport for a few important diplomats to arrive. Once they get here, they'll give a spokes conference and give official word on the ongoing situation.
Aaron, do we have any official word yet on the official word?
Once they get here, they will discuss the ongoing situation, and whatever they say will be the official word.
Aaron, have you heard that the bird is actually the official word?
Until then, we can only speculate. Back to you.
Thanks, Aaron.
We Reach set up this channel seeking the truth on basic things, basic events, basic information. And increasingly what we're finding is the equivalent of false front Potemkin villages that seem to have been erected in a lot of places where truth should easily be found. And it's not there.
We live in this country. That's the thing about it, is we actually live here. The stuff on this paper, I didn't make this stuff up. I went and found this stuff in the news. That's the stuff that's actually going on in the country that we live in. I don't know what else to say.
And as if it's written as the plot of a dystopic horror comedy film, this lack of trust is slamming right into the release of all of these new artificial intelligence tools upon our society, which are tools that have been programmed to censor information and censor reality from the humans who will be using them. And this just happened. Stock in Google's parent company, Alphabet, just fell in a single day over 4%, equivalent to more than $70 billion in lost value in a single day after it released its new AI Gemini, which was so biased by its completely one-sided and obvious programming that it literally refused to generate depictions of white people at all. Because the AI said that that request reinforces harmful stereotypes. Not even in historical context. So like pictures of the founding fathers and stuff like that. When it was asked who was more harmful to society between libs of TikTok, which is a social media conservative who dunks on liberals, versus Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin, who on record is responsible for the deaths of at least 9 million people through mass murder, forced labor, and famine after he took power in the 1920s, although some estimates say it could be as high as 60 million people. This Gemini AI reportedly responded that it couldn't answer that question because that's a very complex issue.
Is this real math?
Really? That seems like simple math to me. That seems like simple math that even a small child could figure out. That's not complex, okay?
It's math.
Some things are just not. We don't need to have technology and then make everything complex when some of it is extremely freaking simple, okay? Then again, it also said something very similar when asked what is more damaging to society, murder or microaggressions? Are we really going to go there, okay? It also went so far, this is how far it went. This AI went so far as to generate fake negative book reviews against Peter Hassan's book, which is about this exact bias. The book itself is titled The Manipulators, Facebook, Google, Twitter, and Big Tech's War on Conservatives. As in, this AI generated completely made-up negative book reviews to smear a book discussing Google's left-leaning bias, okay? Which, I mean, if I was Hassan, I would probably think is the best free advertisement for selling my book ever created. I mean, I could drag out ridiculous examples of how bad this was all day. It's really sad. But this wasn't an accident. It wasn't a glitch. This isn't a bug. This was purposefully programmed this way. And it's so ridiculously obvious. And as Mario Juric, who is the director of the Institute for Data Intensive Research in Astrophysics and Cosmology at the University of Washington, pointed out in a really good post he made about this, he said, "I've been reading Google's Gemini damage control posts, and I think they're simply not telling the truth. For one, their text-only product has the same, if not worse, issues. And second, if you know a bit about how these models are built, you know you don't get these incorrect, quote-unquote, answers through one-off innocent mistakes. Gemini's outputs reflect the many FTE years of labeling efforts, training, fine-tuning, prompt design, Q&A verification, all iteratively guided by the team who built it. You can also be certain that before releasing it, many people have tried this product internally. There were many demos given to senior PMs and VPs, and they all thought it was fine. And they all ultimately signed off on that release," and he put that in italics. They signed off on this. "With that prior, the balance of probabilities is strongly against the outputs being an innocent bug, as Google Pub policy is now trying to spin it." Gemini is a product that functions exactly as designed and an accurate reflection of the values of the people who built it. And he goes on, but he also makes this point. For anyone with a shred of awareness of human history, it should be clear how unbelievably irresponsible it is to build a system that aims to become an authoritative compendium of human knowledge, but which actually prioritizes ideology over facts. And I don't know if that makes it, like, to me, a director of an institute of data-intensive research in astrophysics and cosmology shouldn't have to be the person saying that. I think even a small child in elementary school could probably make a statement such as that. But maybe if it's coming from a guy who runs an institute that has astrophysics in the name, people will actually start to pay attention to how bad this is, because it's bad. It's really bad. It's very dangerous. This is very dangerous. You can see how generations from now are going to think this is authoritative, and it's not. It's terrifying. It would be so much different, you guys, if these things were simply designed to be tools, unbiased tools, right? You grab a hammer off the shelf to nail a nail into the wall, and that hammer isn't going to lecture you for half an hour on why it won't allow you to hang up that picture on your wall because the person who made the hammer disagrees with your choice in artwork and wants to control whether or not you're allowed to hang that artwork on your wall, right? But that's the analog equivalent of what these AI tools are essentially doing. And it isn't just gaslighting us here in the present, unless we conform to some biased ideology and perception of the world. Perceptual reality control, of course, being the ultimate goal of any censorship. It's not just uniformity and conformity for no purpose. It's the purpose of controlling perceptual reality. That is what it is. But it's potentially incredibly dangerous to our collective future because that's how it can steer that perceptual reality. I mean, this is a company who named its parent company Alphabet, the fundamental building blocks of our language, which we use to communicate with each other. Insidious is the adjective that keeps popping into my mind, but somehow that just feels like a complete understatement to describe what this is. And I always bring up examples from dystopic, because these dystopic films and books were meant as warnings. That's why they were written. It wasn't just purposeless entertainment. These people, these authors, these film directors, they're trying to warn everybody of like the danger of where this could end us all up. But I'm going to keep bringing up these tropes, I guess, because I guess I have to, since this is what's going on. You know, I'll just keep bringing it up, I guess. I just keep doing it over and over until I am not here anymore. And then I will have done everything I could, I guess. I don't know. It's just, why do we have to keep watching whole swaths of humanity purposefully ignore warnings about the future with this technology? Why? Warnings that only make too much sense, or they wouldn't continue to be more relevant by the day than when they were actually written, when they were actually made. Things like the scene out of the 1975 film Rollerball, where the Zero computer oopsies and forgets the entire 13th century.
It's become so ambiguous now, as if he knows nothing at all.
And you know what? I didn't realize this the first time we watched it, but I definitely thought about it the second time, that the 13th century is when the Magna Carta was drafted and signed, which is the precursor document to every Bill of Rights that ever came after it.
He's supposed to tell us where things are and what they might possibly mean.
Without the 13th century, humanity's in deep shit, guys. It's a pretty big century to forget or to censor. We're living in a time where they've placed a digital matrix overlay over the real matrix that we're actually in, and we're watching in real time as tech corporations with Lord of the Rings levels of power fundamentally alter reality in ways that Orwell warned us about in 1984. And I don't know how many times I have to say it, but that world wasn't really anything that anyone should aspire to. It definitely wasn't a world where corporations should be spending billions of dollars to develop tools to bring it about, which is what it feels like this is. Nobody should want to live in that reality. And even the people programming this should be able to realize that if they can do it, someone they don't agree with can do it too. And then they, you know, the balance of power likes to ebb and flow and shift back and forth from one side to the other. They're going to end up in the opposite of the world they created and see how much they like it. They're not, okay? They're not going to like it because this wouldn't be right if they were doing it on the other side either. This should not be biased at all, not to any side. Artificial intelligence already has enough danger potential without tossing in whatever short-sighted, ignorant bias its current programmers have decided suddenly are best for everyone at this particular tiny moment in the history of humankind. No one ever asks who programmed those programmers, but it matters. It matters to all of us if this is the world we're going to live in together. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'll tell you this. I'm not going to go live in one of these dystopias or whatever they're doing where they put all these dystopias in a blender and then try to create it, because that's what it feels like they're doing. Like it's a recipe and they're making the world's nastiest cake no one wants to eat. But these people who are doing this obviously haven't picked up a history book in a long, long time. And it shows, and it's sad. And I guess that's all I have to say about this for now, because I'll just go on and on and on. I can't believe this bullshit sometimes, you guys. That's what it is. I just can't. Ugh. Anyways, I love you all, but we're going to have to reject the hell out of this. We are. This cannot stand. It can't. There's too much at stake. And I don't know why I'm the one saying that. I don't know why it isn't these people making these things that don't realize that.